Something caught Preacher's eye. Something that made him press his face closer to the gap in the canvas flaps. He saw a huge shape moving through the rain. It was nothing but a formless blob, but it was big. Something about the sight of it lumbering slowly along made a shiver go down Preacher's spine. Then, the gray curtains of the downpour thickened, and whatever it was vanished from Preacher's sight. He thought about dog and horse. He couldn't do anything about horse, but there was some room in the wagon for dog, and Preacher wanted his old friend with him.
Stay put, Martlet!
Martlet clutched at his arm.
Good Lord, you're not going out in that, are you? What about the cyclone?
It's gonna get us or it ain't gonna.
Preacher pulled free from Martlet's hand, pushed the canvas aside, and climbed out over the front of the wagon, dropping to the already muddy ground next to the stolid oxen. Instantly, he was soaked to the skin. The rain lashed at him like something alive. He held onto his hat to keep it from blowing away.
Dog! Dog!
He couldn't see much of anything. It was like he was in the middle of a damn waterfall. But after a moment, he could feel the big cur pressing against his leg. Preacher reached down and put his arm around Dog's thick, heavily muscled body. Lifting the animal was not easy. But he heaved Dog up until the big cur was able to scramble into the wagon. Preacher pulled himself in after Dog.
Get down and hang on!
He pressed himself to the floorboards, holding Dog tightly beside him. Preacher expected that at any second the tornado was going to lift that wagon from the ground and suck it high into the air, spinning it madly at the same time. He had looked death in the face many times, but he had probably never been closer to it until that very moment. Lehman Bartlett lifted his pale, fear-gaunted face.
Is it over?
Yeah, maybe the worst of it.
Preacher let go of Dog and crawled over to the flaps at the rear of the wagon. When he pushed one of them back, rain slashed through the open. He blinked water out of his eyes and looked for the tornado. A second later, he spotted it off the ground, pulling back up into the clouds. He thought it must have started lifting up just before it reached the caravan. If a monster like that had struck the wagons directly, it would have scattered them like a child's toys. They had definitely dodged one of nature's deadliest bullets. But they weren't out of danger yet. A lightning bolt slammed into the prairie about 100 yards away.
The twister's gone, but the storm's still a long way from played out. And there's nothing to say another cyclone won't show up.
And then we should all just stay put?
That's right. It'll blow itself out sooner or later. When it does, there's gonna be even more problems facing us.
For more than an hour after the heavens opened up, the rain continued to pour down. At last, the deluge began to slow. And when it did, it tapered off quickly and then came to an abrupt end. Mere minutes later, the sun started peeking through tiny rifts in the thick gray clouds. Preacher pulled the canvas back.
Yeah, that's the way of prairie thunderstorms. Once they're over, they are over. But Lord God, has this one left a mess behind.
The trail was a broad swath of thick muck and standing water. Preacher's boots splashed when they hit the ground, and he sunk almost ankle deep in the mud.
Damnation.
Preacher turned back to the wagon to lift Dog down.
All right, you're gonna be prissy about it. You just stay the hell in there then.
Bartlett looked down from the wagon.
Good Lord, it's a swamp out there.
Yeah, just like I told you, you couldn't go very far without bogging down again. You better wait until things dry out of mine.
The air was hot and steamy. Preacher took off his hat and sleeved sweat off his forehead as he slogged along the line of wagons, checking on the vehicles.
It's all right now, folks. Come on out if you want to.
Casey was a little flushed as she looked down from the wagon where she had taken shelter with Roland Bartlett.
What a terrible storm. I thought we were all about to be blown away.
We came mighty close. That cyclone almost got us.
Oh, I hope I never have to go through anything like that again.
It wasn't that bad. At least we weren't alone.
Casey flushed a deeper shade of pink. Preacher managed not to chuckle. He figured there must have been some clinging to each other going on in that wagon during the height of the storm. He moved on and helped Lorenzo climb down from the lead wagon. Then the two of them checked on the horses. The big gray stallion was wet and annoyed, but seemed fine otherwise, as did the other horses. The same was true of the oxen hitched to the wagons. Considering the ferocity of the storm, they had all come through it pretty damn well.
We've been lucky, mighty lucky.
Lorenzo made a face as the mud tried to suck his boots off with every step.
Damn, gone. We ain't going anywhere anytime soon, are we?
And not until tomorrow at the earliest.
Gonna be a cold camp tonight. There's nothing out here dry enough to burn right now. Without a fire, we're gonna have to make do with leftover biscuits for supper and no coffee.
That's still a lot better than going hungry.
Don't tell me. I've done it many times in the past.
Since the wagons weren't in their usual circle, Preacher rigged a makeshift corral with poles and a couple of ropes. Then the bullwhackers unhitched the teams and drove them into the enclosure. The massive, stolid beasts of burden weren't that easily spooked, so it was easy to keep them penned up. Preacher told a couple of men to keep an eye on them anyway, though. The last of the clouds moved on, leaving the late afternoon sky clear and hot. It was sticky, miserable weather, and it was not long before everyone was on edge. Preacher was going to be glad when night fell. At least it would cool off a little then. Remembering that thing he had caught a glimpse of during the storm, Preacher decided to scout around a mite. The likelihood of finding tracks in the mud was slim, but it wouldn't hurt anything to take a look.
You want me to come with you?
No, I'd rather you stay here and keep an eye on this bunch. Don't let them do anything stupid.
You think they're gonna pay any attention to a black man?
They'd be damn wise to. At least try to talk some sense into them anyway.
Preacher lifted Dog down from the wagon and swung up on horse's back. Riding north, he kept an eye on the muddy ground as he searched for signs. Dog splashed along through the puddles. Preacher cast back and forth for quite a while, but he didn't find anything. And Dog didn't react to any unusual smells either. Just as Preacher had suspected, the downpour had washed away any tracks or scents. The sun was lowering toward the horizon.
Dog, we might as well ride on back. We got about a mile back to the wagons.
As he headed south again, movement to the east caught his eye. He reined in and his eyes narrowed as he peered into the distance. After a moment, he was able to focus on the moving objects well enough to recognize them as several men on horseback. The riders were headed west along the trail, toward the stalled wagons.
We'd best eat up some ground.
When Preacher rode up to the wagons, Lorenzo came out to meet him.
Find anything?
Preacher hadn't explained what he was looking for, since to tell the truth, he didn't really know. He shook his head.
No, nothing unusual except for some fellas coming in from the east on horseback.
Lorenzo's hands tightened on the flintlock rifle he carried. Even though he lacked Preacher's experience on the frontier, he was smart enough to know that strangers could mean trouble.
You know who they are?
Not a clue.
Preacher looped horse's reins around one of the wagon wheels.
Where's Bartlett?
Last I seen him, he's going through the wagons checking to see if the rain damaged any of the freight.
Preacher walked along the line of wagons until he found Bartlett climbing out of one of the vehicles.
Rider's coming.
Is that a problem?
Hell, most likely not, but it could be if they're looking for trouble. Get your men together.
Bartlett nodded and hurried off to do as Preacher said. The mountain man walked on past the wagons until he reached the end of the caravan. Then he waited for the riders to arrive. They were already in sight and coming steadily closer, close enough for Preacher to be able to count them. Five men, and one of them was leading a pack horse. Not a real threat, considering that Bartlett had 20 bullwhackers working for him, but Preacher was still wary. His instincts wouldn't allow him to be otherwise.
Preacher?
He looked over his shoulder and saw Casey plodding through the mud toward him with a worried expression on her face. Not surprisingly, Roland trailed after her. So did Lorenzo.
Someone's following us?
Somebody's going the same direction we are. It ain't necessarily the same thing as following.
You don't think it could be some of Beaumont's men, do you?
Back in St. Louis, Casey had worked for Shad Beaumont, a prominent criminal. Beaumont was dead now, but ever since they had left St. Louis, Casey had worried that some of the surviving members of his organization might come after him and seek vengeance. Preacher didn't think that was likely, but he couldn't rule out the possibility entirely, which was yet another reason to be cautious.
I'd be mighty surprised if those fellows had anything to do with Beaumont. But if they did and they were looking for us, well, we'd deal with it, that's all.
Who's Beaumont?
No one. He's dead. But some of the men who work for him might have a grudge against Preacher and Lorenzo and me.
Oh.
Roland was clearly puzzled, but he did not indulge his curiosity. Preacher figured Casey had not told him she used to work in a whorehouse, and she probably wouldn't tell him unless she was forced to for some reason. Her past didn't matter to Preacher, and she knew that. But likely Roland would be a different story. As the riders came closer, Preacher's keen eyes saw that they were all wearing buckskins. A couple sported coonskin caps. The others, broad-brimmed felt hats like the one Preacher wore. He pegged them as fellow mountain men, even though he had never seen any of them before. One of the men edged his horse in front of the others as the party closed to within 30 feet and reined in. The self-appointed spokesman was tall and rangy in the saddle, with a gray-shot brown beard that jutted from his angular jaw. He put a grin on his face and nodded to Preacher, who walked out from the wagons to meet him.
Howdy!
Preacher returned the nod.
Afternoon.
Preacher had his rifle cradled in his arms with his thumb looped over the hammer. The stranger couldn't fail to note that sign of being ready for trouble. As a matter of fact, the man's own rifle was resting across the saddle in front of him, also ready for quick use.
Looks like you folks are a mite bogged down. We saw that storm blowing through, but we were lucky and the worst of it missed us. Looked like it was a ring-tailed roar, though.
Oh, it sure was. Big cyclone came down from the clouds, and for a minute I thought it was going to carry us off.
I saw one of those things down in Texas once. It'd be mighty fine with me if I never saw another one.
Yeah, same here.
Name's Garrity.
He waved a hand at his companions.
This here's Levi Jones, Walt Stubblefield, Micajah Horn, and Edgar Massey. We're heading for New Mexico.
They call me Preacher.
Preacher saw the looks of recognition that appeared on the faces of all five men. They knew the name all right. Most folks who roamed the wild places west of the Mississippi did.
Preacher, huh? Well, I didn't know you started guiding wagon trains to Santa Fe. Well, I reckon that's where these wagons are going.
Yeah, that's right. What do you plan to do in New Mexico?
It was an unusually blunt question. Whenever folks met somebody for the first time, they normally waited for the other fellow to offer whatever information he wanted to about where he came from and where he was going, and what he planned to do once he got there.
Figured we'd do some trapping.
You ever been to that part of the country before?
Nope. I'd wager you have, though, what with you being the famous preacher and all.
Preacher stiffened at the edge of mockery in Garrity's voice. The man obviously didn't think that based on looks alone, Preacher lived up to his reputation. Preacher didn't give a good damn about that, but he didn't like the predatory gleam he saw in Garrity's eyes when the man looked at the wagons and at Casey.
Yeah, well, I've been there several times. Pretty country. The trapping's better farther north, though. That's where the real fur trade is.
Yeah, but there's more competition up there. We figure the field to be clearer down south. How long you folks figure on staying here?
Until the trail dries out enough that the wagons won't get stuck when they try to move.
Muddy as it is, that may be a while. Anything we can do to give you a hand?
Nope. I reckon we'll do just fine.
All right, then. I reckon we'll mosey on.
Garrity lifted a finger to the brim of his hat.
You folks be careful now.
He jerked his head at his companions. They moved their horses over to the side of the trail and rode around the wagons. Preacher saw that each one of them eyed Casey as they moved past her. That wasn't surprising. A man could go a long time out there without seeing a woman, and an even longer time without seeing one as pretty as Casey. She wasn't the only thing that interested the men, however. They looked long and hard at the wagons, too, as if they were weighing how much money the freight in the vehicles might bring in Santa Fe. Preacher kept an eye on the men until they vanished into the setting sun. Lehman Bartlett came up beside him.
Well, that was a rather rough-looking bunch.
Yeah, and I wouldn't trust any of them. Good thing is, there are only five of them. We outnumber them 4-1, so there ain't much chance they're going to try to bother us.
But our guards should be especially alert tonight anyway, don't you think?
You're learning, Mr. Bartlett. You are learning.
Preacher and Bartlett put on extra guard shifts for the night. The ground was too muddy to sleep on comfortably, so after the cold supper, the men who didn't have sentry duty climbed into the wagons and tried to find enough room to stretch out. That wasn't easy, especially for someone like Preacher with his long legs. He managed to doze off on top of some crates, though, but his slumber was restless. After a while, he sat up, pulled on his boots, and climbed out of the wagon. The night was quiet and peaceful. The air had cooled off a little, and there was a breeze out of the north. It wasn't as sticky, which boded well for the ground drying out some the next day. He looked down and saw the dog had crawled out from under the wagon. The big cur was covered with mud. He had romped in it for an hour around dusk, deciding it was all right after all.
Oh, God almighty, you're a mess, you know that.
Preacher gave dog's ears an affectionate scratch.
You acted like a damn.
Preacher stopped short as dog suddenly stiffened and pressed against his leg. The animal's ears pricked up, and he lifted his head as he pointed his muzzle toward the north.
Whatever that damn thing is that's out there again ain't a dog. Shit, I've had enough of this.
Earlier, Preacher had seen Lehman Bartlett climbing into one of the wagons to try to get some sleep. With dog at his heels, he stalked over to that wagon now and pulled the canvas back.
Bartlett! What? What? What?
Bartlett raised up and stuck his head out through the opening.
Well, what's wrong, Preacher?
You have any newspapers or anything like that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I brought along a stack of Philadelphia papers. I thought the American settlers in Santa Fe might like to see them.
Give me one of them.
Bartlett hesitated a couple of seconds, and Preacher knew the man intended to sell the papers in Santa Fe, not share them for free.
Very well. Just a moment.
After a minute, Bartlett climbed out and handed Preacher a newspaper. He was wearing high-topped boots and a nightshirt, which gave him a rather ludicrous appearance.
What's going on? Is there a problem?
Something's been following us, and I am sick and tired of it. I'm going to go find out what it is.
Preacher handed Bartlett his rifle, then took several sheets of newspaper and twisted them into a makeshift torch. Getting out flint and steel, he struck sparks until he managed to catch the paper on fire. Then he pulled one of the pistols from behind his belt, cocked it, and strode away from the wagons, thrusting the burning paper in front of him.
God damn it! Whoever you are, show yourself!
Behind him, men began to crawl out of the wagons, awakened by the shout.
Stay close to the wagons!
He strode forward again, moving the burning paper from side to side. The torch wasn't gonna last long, only a few more seconds before it burned down close enough to his fingers to make him drop it. Suddenly, he saw something glow up ahead of him. Two somethings, actually. Like a pair of embers in the remains of a campfire. The way those two glows were set, he knew they were eyes. What they belonged to was another question. As Preacher thrust his pistol out in front of him, the eyes abruptly rose higher, and then just as abruptly disappeared. At the same time, the flame singed Preacher's fingers.
Ow!
And he had to drop the burning paper. Preacher wanted to pull the trigger, but he had never shot a gun without knowing what he was shooting at, and he didn't want to start now. He held his fire, but he kept that finger still taut on the trigger, ready to squeeze it. The thing was leaving.
But it'll be back. It's been on our trail now for a couple of days. I don't think it's going to stop just because I yelled at it.
Preacher didn't think their stalker was human. A man would have shown himself already. Judging by the glimpse Preacher had gotten of the thing during the storm, it was too big to be a man. That meant it had to be some sort of animal. But if that were true, it had keener intelligence than most animals, or else it would have forgotten about the wagons and wandered off by now. Preacher stayed right where he was with the pistol pointing out into the darkness until his instincts told him the thing was gone. He didn't tuck the weapon away when he finally started back towards the wagons either. In fact, he drew the other pistol and held it ready as well, just in case something came at him out of the shadows. But nothing did. By the time he got back to the wagons, the entire camp was awake and waiting to find out what was going on. Casey, with a blanket wrapped around her shoulders, came up to him.
What was out there, Preacher?
I don't know. Some sort of animal. I saw its eyes glowing in the light, only for a second. Then it turned around and left.
Roland Bartlett walked up.
Well, then, if it was just an animal, we don't have to worry about it, do we?
No, I didn't say that. Whatever that thing is, it is pretty big. And it's smart, too. It'd be a good idea to keep our eyes open. But then, that's always a good idea out here.
The men began to head back to their wagons to get some more sleep.
Do you really think we're in any danger from this thing?
Hell, we've been in danger from one thing or another ever since we left St. Louis, girl. And if I recollect correctly, it was a mite perilous back there, too.
By morning, the trail was still pretty muddy, but the big puddles of standing water were beginning to dry up. The sky was mostly clear. The cool breeze from the north was still blowing, and Preacher thought maybe the trail would be dry enough by midday for the wagons to pull out. He told Lehman Bartlett that they would remain where they were for the time being, then saddled horse and rode out to the area where he had seen those glowing eyes the night before. Dog trotted alongside him. Since the rain had stopped before Preacher went out and challenged the thing, he thought he might be able to find its tracks. Sure enough, the marks were on the ground leading off to the northwest. But the mud had been soft enough at the time the tracks were left that it had flowed back into them, blurring and obscuring any details. Even though Preacher dismounted and studied the tracks closely, he couldn't tell what sort of animal had made him. He could follow him, though. Dog ranged ahead of him as he rode northwest. The wagons fell out of sight behind him. Preacher was a little worried about Garrity and the other hard-looking men who had ridden past, but he didn't expect them to double back and attack the wagons. They had struck him as men who wouldn't risk anything unless the odds were on their side. Eventually, the tracks led to a rain-swollen creek and vanished into the fast-moving water. The creature must have plunged right in, demonstrating a complete lack of fear where the flooded creek was concerned. Preacher reined in and sat on the bank, frowning at the rushing stream.
What the hell sort of varmint would do a thing like that?
Preacher damn sure wasn't gonna try to swim horse across the creek. It would be too easy for both man and horse to be swept away. He turned the gray stallion.
Come on, dog!
They headed back toward the wagons, which were several miles away by now. Preacher had covered about half that distance when he heard it. He stiffened in the saddle for a second as he immediately recognized the sounds for what they were.
Gunfire. Son of a bitch.
Preacher couldn't hear any more shots over the pounding of horses' hooves. Maybe the situation wasn't as bad as he thought it was, but he couldn't convince himself of that. And sure enough, when he came inside of the wagons, he saw a number of men on horseback riding back and forth, firing rifles toward him. Since the wagons weren't pulled into a circle, the traditional defensive formation, the bullwhackers and the other men had been forced to take cover underneath the vehicles. As Preacher raced closer, he saw a puff of powder smoke coming from under the wagons, and he knew Bartlett's men were putting up a fight. preacher figured Garrity and the men who had ridden by the day before joined up with some others and come back to attack the freight caravan. He was coming at them from behind, so they didn't seem to know he was there. When he was within rifle range, he reined horse to a halt and was out of the saddle even before the stallion stopped moving. He pulled the long-barreled flintlock rifle from the fringed sheath strapped to the saddle and rested it across Horse's back. Preacher eased the rifle's hammer back and lined the sights on one of the attackers. He'd be shooting the man in the back, which he did not like. But since the varmint was trying to kill folks Preacher had befriended, the mountain man figured he had it coming anyway. Preacher took a deep breath and squeezed the trigger. The black powder went off, and the rifle kicked back hard against Preacher's shoulder. The heavy lead ball slammed into the man's back and drove him right out of the saddle. Preacher didn't try to reload the rifle. The other attackers would have noticed that one of their number had been shot down from behind. As some of them wheeled their horses around to search for the source of the new threat, Preacher jammed the rifle back in its sheath and vaulted into the saddle. He put the reins in his teeth and guided horse with his knees. Preacher pulled both pistols from behind his belt. The guns were double-shotted and carried a larger-than-usual charge of powder, which made them mighty lethal. But he had to get closer to use them. He was relying on horse's speed and elusiveness for that. The attackers who had turned toward Preacher opened fire. The big animal swerved from side to side, responding swiftly and surely to the pressure of the mountain man's knees on its flanks. Preacher felt as much as heard the hum of a rifle ball passing close by his head. The sensation was nothing new to him, so he didn't let it spook him. Instead, he kept on riding, drawing ever nearer to the attackers. Soon he was close enough to recognize some of them, and just as he'd expected, the man called Garrity was among them. Preacher saw clearly the man's beard and raw-boned shape. He was also close enough to use the pistols now, and as Garrity tried to draw a bead on him with a rifle, Preacher whipped up his right-hand gun. One of the balls missed Garrity entirely, but the other tore through his left arm.
Let's get the hell out of here!
The men turned their horses and jabbed in their boot heels. The animals took off at a run, headed west along the trail. Preacher started to fire his second pistol after him, but he let go of the trigger before the weapon went off. The chances of him hitting any of them were slim, and he wanted to have a loaded gun handy if they happened to turn around and try another attack. But it didn't look like that was going to be the case. The raiders showed no signs of slowing down as they gave up their attack and galloped off along the Santa Fe Trail. Preacher rode straight to the wagons. Bartlett, Roland, Casey, and Lorenzo crawled out from under a couple of vehicles and hurried to meet him. Their clothes were smeared with mud, but he didn't see any blood stains on them. A wave of relief went through Preacher as he realized the young woman and the elderly black man hadn't been hurt. In the time that he had known them, he had grown quite fond of them both.
Preacher, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. They threw a little lead at me, but none of it came close.
It was that man Garrity and his friends, the ones who were here yesterday. I got a good look at the scoundrels.
Yeah, it was them all right, and a dozen other polecats to boot. Garrity's bunch must have been planning on meeting up with those other fellas, and when they did, he told them about these freight wagons.
Were they always planning to rob us?
Sure, there's no telling. They might have been on their way to the mountains to do some trapping, just like Garrity said, and decided to take advantage of the opportunity fate put in their way. Or they could have been highwaymen all along.
Well, the important thing is that we defeated them and sent them packing.
No, the important thing, the thing we gotta remember, is that they're still out there. Only one man got himself killed.
Preacher jerked his head toward the corpse that lay on the ground about 100 yards away. The man's horse had deserted him, following the other horses when the rest of the bunch galloped away.
And at least one of them is wounded. Maybe more, but really, we didn't do all that much damage to them.
Then you think they'll come back?
Preacher pointed west along the trail.
Well, they're between you all and the place you're headed. All they gotta do is wait for you to come to them.
Bartlett sent a couple of the bullwhackers to fetch in the body of the dead man. The powerfully muscled freighters were able to carry the corpse without much trouble. They laid it out next to one of the wagons so Preacher could have a look at it. The man was skinny, and he had a scraggly black beard. One corner of his mouth was twisted grotesquely because of a knife scar that ran raggedly up his cheek. It looked like somebody had shoved a blade in his mouth and cut his face half open. Preacher hunkered on his heels next to the corpse. He had never seen him before.
This ain't one of the fellows who was with Garrity yesterday. I've seen his sort before, though.
And what sort is that?
The one that'll do some trapping or some other kind of honest work if he absolutely has to, but he'd rather steal from other folks and enjoy the fruits of their labor.
Then we shouldn't be mourning him too much, I suppose.
Preacher looked around to make sure Casey wasn't within earshot as he straightened to his feet.
Oh, shit. When we pull out of here, you can leave the bastard laying here for the wolves for all I care.
No, he's still a human being. We'll give him a decent burial.
Yeah, well, don't expect me to pray over him.
No, I can do that. I brought a Bible with me.
By the time Bart that requested God to have mercy on the soul of the departed and his men filled in the muddy grave, it was early afternoon and the sun had passed at zenith. Preacher walked out on the trail and tested its firmness with his boots. Hours of sun and wind had dried the ground somewhat.
You think we can leave now?
We'll give it a try. If it looks like the wagons are about to bog down, we can always stop again.
When everything was ready, Bartlett rode along the line of wagons and waved his hat over his head.
Wagons ho!
Preacher watched the wheels. They left deep ruts behind them, but they kept turning. It was the best he could hope for. Progress would be slower than usual as the oxen trudged through the mud and fought its clinging grip on their hooves, but any progress was better than none.
Looks like there's a good chance the wagons won't get stuck.
Splendid! Finally we can put more ground behind us.
Well, now, maybe not as much as you'd hope.
What do you mean? The wagons are moving.
This morning, while I was out trying to track the critter that was lurking around camp last night, I came across a creek. Now, I reckon in normal times, it wouldn't be much more than a trickle, maybe even a dry wash. But after that gully washer yesterday, these ain't normal times. Stream was flooded.
You mean we won't be able to ford it?
That's what I'm saying. We'll probably have to wait for the water to go down before we can get to the other side.
Well, how long will that take?
Well, depends on how much water's running in it. Might just be a few hours, in which case we might be able to ford it today while it's still light. But it could be as long as another day.
Another day lost. My God, does everything out here in this wilderness conspire to cause trouble for a man and ruin his plans?
Well, sometimes it seems like that, but your plans ain't ruined. They're just delayed to mine. We'll get across sooner or later.
Less than an hour later, Preacher spotted the dark, muddy line of the flooded creek stretching across the trail in front of him. He reined in and pointed it out to Bartlett.
Well, should we stop the wagons?
Nah, there's no reason not to push on until we get to the creek. That way we'll be ready to ford it as soon as we're able to. I'll ride on ahead and take a look.
Preacher had barely pulled out ahead of the others with Horace moving at an easy lope when Casey came up even with him.
No need for you to come along. You can go back with Roland and his paw if you want to.
I don't want to. I want to talk to you, Preacher.
Preacher figured this would be a good chance to clear the air instead of having the future hanging over him all the way to Santa Fe.
All right, go ahead and talk.
You made it clear over the past few days that you don't want to have anything to do with me.
Oh, now that just ain't true. I think you're a fine gal. I like having you around.
So if I come to your bedroll tonight, you won't turn me away?
Oh, good God, I didn't say that, Casey. Just because I like you don't mean I think it's a good idea for the two of us to.
Is it because I was a whore? Because you can't stop thinking about all the other men who's been with me?
Oh, hell no. You know better than that, Casey. If there's one thing the frontier's taught me, it's that yesterday's dead and gone. What we did then don't matter anymore. Since nobody knows if they'll be around to see the sun come up the next morning, tomorrow don't mean a whole hell of a lot neither. What we do today, that's what counts the most.
Well, that's what I think too. I just don't understand why you don't like me as much anymore.
They had reached the rain-swollen creek.
Liking you don't have anything to do with it. I just figured that you'd be better off with somebody besides a shiftless old goat like me.
Oh, I keep telling you, you ain't that old. Anyway, that's not your decision to make.
Yeah, well, I reckon I got a say in it, though.
Yeah, you know a lot about a lot of things, Preacher. but evidently not that much about women.
Oh, I don't mean to hurt you, Casey, and I reckon we'll be traveling together until we get to Santa Fe for sure, but after that, I don't know yet where I'll be going or what I'll be doing.
You want to abandon me in Santa Fe? Is that it?
No, I'd never abandon you.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
Well, shit, that didn't go the way I wanted it to. Pretty much the story of my life where gals are concerned. She's right about one thing, though. Women are still a damn mystery to me. And they probably always will be.
Preacher forced his mind onto a more pressing problem, namely the flooded creek. The stream was wider there, so the water level wasn't as deep as it was farther upstream. But it was still deep enough and flowing fast enough that Preacher didn't think it would be a good idea to take the wagons into it just yet. He had a hunch that by morning the creek would have gone down enough that they could ford it without too much difficulty. When the wagons arrived, he gave that bit of good news to Lehman Bartlett.
Well, thank goodness. We'll only lose a few hours that way.
Yeah, we'll make camp right here and wait it out.
The wagons were arranged in a circle with the livestock in the middle, and the men searched the surrounding prairie for buffalo dung that was dry enough to burn. By the time dusk began to settle over the landscape, they had gathered enough of it to make a decent fire. They could have hot food and coffee again, and that made everybody feel better. As they were tending to their horses, Lorenzo approached Preacher.
I saw Casey crying a while back, after she talked to you. What'd you say to that poor gal, Preacher?
Oh, hell's fire, Lorenzo. I tried to get her to see that there ain't no real future for her and me. I mean, sooner or later, she's gonna want to settle down, and I ain't cut out for that.
Has she said anything to you about settling down?
Well, now that you mention it, no, she ain't.
Uh-huh. Maybe you done jumped the gun a mat. Maybe you should have just let things stay like they were until we got to Santa Fe. You could have worried about it then.
Yeah. Shit, yeah, you could be right. Would have been simpler that way, that's for damn sure. I don't know how well it would have gone over with young Bartlett, though.
Roland ain't a bad sort, but he ain't near man enough for a gal like Casey. He's got a heap of growing up to do first.
Maybe I'll go talk to her. Try to set things right for a while, anyway.
Be a good idea, I'm thinking.
The sun had gone down, and the night shadows were gathering. Preacher walked toward the fire, looking for Casey as he approached it. He didn't see her, but Lehman Bartlett was there.
Do you happen to notice where Casey got off to?
Bartlett pointed to one of the big canvas-covered vehicles.
She was over by that wagon with Roland. Preacher, what sort of woman is Miss Casey? I'm afraid that Roland has developed an affection for her.
She's one of the finest gals I've ever met.
Well, are the two of you... I mean, I hope you'll bear no ill will toward Roland because of what I just said.
Oh, now don't you worry about that, Mr. Bartlett. I ain't looking for trouble. Not women trouble nor any other kind.
Leaving Bartlett by the fire, Preacher walked toward the wagon the man had pointed out. He didn't see Casey and Roland at first, but then he glanced underneath the vehicle and he spotted their feet. They were on the far side of the wagon, inside the circle with the oxen and the horses. Preacher came around the wagon and saw Casey and Roland standing there. Roland had his arms around her, but he wasn't exactly hugging her. His arms just sort of made a circle around her, and he patted her awkwardly on the back with one hand from time to time.
Casey, don't cry. Please, don't cry.
Casey had her hands to her face, and she sagged a little against Roland.
Oh, now, Casey, there ain't no need to carry on so. I didn't mean to...
You!
Roland put his hands on Casey's shoulders and moved her gently aside. He came toward Preacher.
Leave her alone. You're the reason she's crying, you bastard.
Careful there, boy. I don't cotton to being called names.
Oh? Well, let's see how you cotton to this.
Roland leaped at Preacher, swinging a fist straight at the mountain man's face. Preacher pulled his head to the side to avoid the punch. Roland's fist sailed past and he stumbled forward with the momentum. Preacher's right fist came up hard, burying itself deep in the young man's belly. Preacher grabbed Roland's shoulders and slung him to the side, sending him sprawling on the muddy ground.
You stay down, boy. Don't you ever come at me like that again.
Preacher, no! You leave him alone!
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, goddammit!
Roland lifted his mud-splattered face and began struggling back to his feet.
I won't let you treat her that way.
As soon as he had his feet planted, he launched himself at Preacher again. Preacher stepped aside from the charge and grabbed the front of Roland's shirt. He threw the young man to the ground again.
Now stay down, boy!
Stubbornly, Roland struggled back to his feet.
Oh, now, goddammit, that's enough! I don't want to fight you!
You're gonna have to, and I'm going to thrash you!
Ho, ho, ho! Not on your best day and my worst one, boy.
You gotta pay for hurting Casey!
Roland, no! You don't have to defend me!
Casey came up beside Roland and clutched his arm.
I'm fine.
But he made you cry.
It doesn't matter. I was just being foolish.
No, I don't care. I won't let him get away with it.
With clenched fists, he started toward Preacher again. Preacher held up a hand, palm out.
Oh, God Almighty, Roland, back off. I don't want to hurt you.
You'll have to kill me to stop me.
Roland, stop this foolishness right now. I won't have my son brawling in the mud over some woman. Stop it, I say.
The scream came from outside the circle of wagons. Everyone's head jerked in that direction. Preacher jerked the pistols out of his belt and ran toward the sounds. He pushed his way through the oxen. Preacher broke free of the livestock and hurdled the wagon tongue. It was dark on that side. Only a faint flickering glow from the campfire reached the area, but it was enough to show Preacher a huge, swiftly moving shadow. He couldn't make out any details. The thing was just a deeper patch of darkness. Both pistols bucked in Preacher's hands. It was too dark for him to tell if he'd hit anything, but he didn't see how he could have missed at that range. He jammed the empty guns behind his belt and yanked his heavy hunting knife from its sheath. He wasn't sure how much good the blade would do against a monster, but he would put up the best fight he could. As he stood ready, the misshapen form wheeled around and lurched away, vanishing into the thick shadows of the night in a heartbeat. But it left behind something on the ground. Preacher put out a hand and felt the hot, wet stickiness of freshly spilled blood. He rested his hand on the man's chest. The man was dead. Preacher turned his head.
Somebody bring a light!
Men were making their way toward the spot. Some of them had grabbed rifles from the wagon. One of them turned back to fetch a lantern.
I know you all want to know what happened. So do I. Let's wait for that light.
Lantern light bobbed with each step as the man carried it over.
Everybody just step back and give him some room now.
The man held the light high above his head as he came up to the scene of the tragedy. The flickering glow washed over a bloody corpse lying on its back. Lifeless eyes stared up from the man's pale, bearded face. Preacher recognized the man as one of the bullwhackers, but he didn't know his name.
Who is it?
His name was Hammond, Ben Hammond. My God, what could have done that to him?
The man's throat was nothing but a raw, gaping wound. Blood had poured from it, flooding down the front of his shirt. Preacher was surprised Hammond had lasted as long as he had. And that wasn't his only injury. Several deep gashes started on his forehead and angled across his face. One eye had been popped from its socket, and most of his nose was torn away. Similar gashes crisscrossed the luckless bullwhacker's chest. His bloody shirt was shredded. By that time, Roland and Casey had joined the others gathered around Preacher and the dead man. Casey turned her face away from the gruesome sight. Roland slipped an arm around her shoulders and pulled her against him.
Are those claw marks?
Yeah, those are claw marks. Marks of a grizzly bear on a rampage.
Grizzly bear? That hardly seems possible. They live in the mountains, don't they?
Well, most do, but sometimes they start to roam, and you can find them just about anywhere west of the Mississippi.
You reckon that's what's been following us?
I know it is. Dog's not scared of much of anything in this world, but Even he's liable to get spooked by a grizz. Same goes for the horses. They catch even the faintest scent of a grizzly bear, they're gonna get nervous. A bear don't mind getting wet, so that's why I was out wandering around during that storm when I caught a glimpse of it.
Preacher got to his feet and shook his head.
Yeah, it all makes sense now. And the only reason I didn't think about a grizzly bear sooner is because, like you said, Mr. Bartlett, you just don't think about running into the critters out here on the prairie.
But what can we do about it?
Other than bury this poor fella? Nothing. The grizz is gone. I saw it take off with a tall and uncut after I took those shots at it.
Or maybe you wounded it. Maybe it went off to die.
No, not likely. Even if I wing the thing, it'll take more than that to put him down. You can't shoot a grizzly once or twice and kill it. Not unless you're a good enough shot to put a ball right through one of his eyes into his brain. And even then, he's liable to stay on his feet for a little bit before he realizes he's actually dead. And it don't take long for one of those varmints to do a hell of a lot of damage. Looks like he swatted Hammond 3 or 4 times. Probably didn't take more than a few seconds.
All right, everyone stay alert tonight.
And stay together as much as you can. Now, I don't know what Hammond was doing out here by himself, but the bear might not have come after him if he hadn't been alone and well away from the fire. He was just too tempting for old Ephraim to resist.
Old Ephraim? The bear has a name? You know this bear?
Now, that's just something mountain men sometimes call a grizzly. I ain't rightly sure how it got started, unless one time a fella saw a grizz that reminded him of a friend of his called Ephraim, and the name stuck.
The bullwhackers began to drift back toward the fire, looking around nervously as they did so. Preacher couldn't blame them. The night held more terror now than it had before. They had seen for themselves how swiftly and brutally death could strike.
Now that the bear has made his kill, what do you think the chances are that he'll leave us alone the rest of the journey, Preacher?
It's hard to say. He's been stalking us for several days. I mean, I don't see any reason for him to go off and leave us alone now. Besides, he didn't get a chance to drag Hammond off before I ran up and scared him away. So he didn't really get what he wanted.
Do you mean food?
Yeah. Now, he's probably been living on prairie dogs, and that ain't enough to keep a big varmint like him going. He needs some bigger prey.
Preacher peered off into the blackness as if he could just see the bear lurking in the darkness.
And I reckon we're it.
Nothing more was said that night about the fight between Preacher and Roland Bartlett. Ben Hammond's sudden, unexpected, and bloody death had everyone too shaken up to worry about such things. Preacher thought about it, though. Roland had made it pretty clear how he felt about Casey. The question was whether she would give up on her feelings for Preacher and turn to the younger man instead. Preacher figured it would sure as hell simplify things if that was what happened. But that wasn't the only thing on Preacher's mind. He pondered the advisability of going out to track down and kill that rogue grizzly, perhaps taking Lorenzo with him. The old-timer didn't know all that much about the frontier yet, but he was smart and brave, and would do what Preacher told him to do without arguing about it. Preacher was convinced they hadn't seen the last of the bear. So the question was whether he went after it or waited for it to come after them again. With everything going on in his mind, Preacher's slumber was restless that night. He spent a lot of time prowling around the camp, rifle in hand and both loaded pistols in his belt, just waiting for trouble. But it didn't show up. The bear did not pay a return visit to the camp, and neither did Garrity and his men. They buried Ben Hammond the next morning and headed out again. The wagons crossed the creek without incident and rolled on west as the sun rose higher in the sky. Since the oxen had had a day to rest, they seemed stronger and pulled harder. The miles fell behind them. There were some rolling hills, and Preacher reined in at the crest of one of those long, gentle slopes, with Dog beside him, when he spotted some movement in the distance. It was too far away for him to identify. Could have been some buffalo or antelope, or men on horseback. Preacher couldn't tell, but whatever it was, they were moving away from the trail. Even though the distant movement wasn't an immediate threat, it was a good reminder that they weren't alone out there. The landscape might seem vast and empty, but it really wasn't. When he returned to the caravan, he saw Casey and Roland riding together beside one of the wagons. The young woman hadn't spoken to Preacher all day. Now, that was all right with Preacher, but he still felt a little pang of loss. Casey was one fine gal. Although he had enjoyed the time they had spent together, he knew she'd be better off with somebody other than him. Now, the jury was still out on whether that particular somebody was going to be Roland Bartlett. Other than the one glimpse Preacher had of movement in the distance, they didn't see anyone all that day or the next. In fact, a week went by without the wagon train encountering anything except wildlife. The days were long, hard, and tedious, but Preacher knew that there wouldn't be many more of them before the caravan reached the Cimarron cutoff. Of course, once they got past that point, the trip would just get even harder. Casey had been avoiding Preacher for the most part, and when she did speak to him, she only said what she had to. Preacher wished there had been some way to handle the situation without offending her, but like everything else in life, it was what it was. Casey came to him one night.
Preacher, I need to talk to you about something.
Oh, God, that sounds mighty ominous.
No, need to get something settled.
Oh, whew.
For a second there, Preacher thought she was going to tell him that she was in the family way, since they had been together a number of times during the trip from St. Louis to Independence. Preacher knew it was possible there were some half-breed Injun kids with his features running around various villages where he had wintered, but he was reasonably sure he didn't have any kids by white women. He wasn't certain what he would have done if Casey had told him she was expecting.
I was about to take a walk around the camp. Why don't you come with me and we can have a little privacy for our talk?
That's a good idea.
Preacher pulled one of the pistols from behind his belt and handed it to Casey.
Here, you hang on to that just in case we run into any trouble. I'll carry my rifle.
They left the campfire and the wagons, walking out about 50 yards and then turning to stroll around the circle. Preacher held his long legs to a gait that Casey could match.
Preacher, I'm sorry about what happened back up the trail. That business with Roland, I mean.
Oh, don't worry about it. Wasn't your fault. Anyway, no harm was done.
It was my fault. I got angry and frustrated with you, and I turned to him for comfort. He took that to mean, well, to mean more than it did.
Well, you know, Roland's not a bad sort for a greenhorn.
I know that, but he can't compare to you, Preacher.
Oh, now, look.
I know it was never going to last between us. We were never going to get married and settle down and raise a passel of kids. In fact, I'm not even sure if I can have children. I had some problems a few years ago.
You don't need to talk about that.
Anyway, I knew not to expect too much from you. You're already married to the wilderness.
You'll find a nice young fellow one of these days. Maybe Roland, maybe somebody else. But I'm sure it's gonna be all right.
I'm not. How could I ever marry a respectable man? After all the things I've done, it wouldn't be fair to him. I'd have to lie to him, because if I told him the truth, no decent man would ever want me.
You might be wrong about that, girl. If a fella really loves you, he ain't gonna care all that much about what happened before. All that's really gonna matter to him is the here and now.
Do you honestly believe that?
Yeah, I do.
Casey slipped her arm through Preacher's.
I hope you're right, Preacher. I really do.
So, what you gonna do about Roland?
I don't know. Wait till we get to Santa Fe and see what happens then, I suppose. Shoot. He's madly in love with me.
Well, of course he is. Hell, I reckon most of them bullwhackers are, too.
Nah, they just want me to crawl into their bedrolls with them. Roland. Now, he has all sorts of romantic notions, though.
Yeah, well, with a name like that, I reckon he'd have to.
What do you mean?
Oh, a friend of mine from the mountains up north named Audie. He's a real educated feller. He knows all sorts of things, and I recollect listening to him recite this poem once about a French knight named Roland. I mean, everybody knows them French fellas are romantic.
Huh. What happened to the Roland in the poem?
Preacher did not want to be the one to tell Casey that the knight wound up getting killed in battle. He scratched his beard.
Well, I don't rightly remember the end of the poem, honestly. You see, the rest of the fellas was passing around a jug while Audie was reciting, and I was joining...
You don't have to explain. I understand.
They had walked a complete circuit of the camp while they were talking. Preacher glanced toward the wagons now.
Well, I expect we'd better get back before folks start to worry about us.
You mean Roland?
Well, if anybody tells him they saw the two of us going out for a walk together, he's liable to get upset again.
I appreciate you not hurting him before.
Well, like I said, he ain't a bad sort, just young and inexperienced. He'll learn, if he lives that long.
Casey stopped and turned so she was facing Preacher.
I want a goodbye kiss.
But we ain't saying goodbye. It'll be another week or more before we make it to Santa Fe, and hell, it ain't like you'll never see me again once we get there.
Yeah, but we're saying goodbye to what might have been between us. From here on out, we'll just be friends.
Can you live with that?
I'll have to.
She smiled up at him, close enough that he felt the warmth of her breath on his face.
But I want that kiss first.
Well, hell, I can do that.
Preacher thumbed his hat back, slipped one arm around her, and bent his head to bring his mouth to hers. She wrapped her arms around his neck and pressed herself against him. He responded to the heat of her firm body and the sweet urgency of her lips, and told himself he might kick himself in the future for practically pushing her into Roland Bartlett's arms after all. But some things were meant to be, and some weren't. The kiss lasted for a long moment. Then he pulled back and smiled down at her.
Okay, now. All right, we best be getting back now.
Preacher.
Come on, don't argue with me.
Preacher?
The moon and stars were bright enough for Preacher to see the shocked expression that suddenly appeared on Casey's face. At the same time, he caught a whiff of a rank, musty odor. His blood turned cold in his veins.
Oh, shit. That damn bear's right behind me, ain't it?
Casey nodded as she continued staring in horror over Preacher's shoulder. For a split second, the mountain man felt like a damn fool. He had told everybody else to stay close to camp and always be in a group, and yet here he had wandered off. Even worse, he'd brought Casey with him. He shoved those thoughts out of his head. He didn't have time for them now.
Give me that pistol I gave you.
Casey swallowed hard, but she pressed the weapon into his hand.
Preacher, what are we gonna do? You said you couldn't kill that creature with pistols.
What's he doing?
Just standing there. My God, he's huge.
Yeah, well, bears don't see too good. They rely on their hearing and their sense of smell. He knows we're here. He's just trying to make up his mind what to do about us. How far away is he?
About 20 feet, I guess.
Oh, shit, that close, huh? Big Grizzly can cover that distance in a heartbeat. All right, look, you start backing away from me, slow and easy. Be as quiet about it as you can. Since I'm in between you and him, he may not be able to tell you're moving away from him.
What about you?
I'm gonna stay right here. Just gotta keep him occupied if he gets feisty before you get back to the wagons.
But he'll kill you.
Oh, not without a fight. So when you get to the wagons, tell everybody what's going on. With one rival, it takes a mighty lucky shot to put down a monster like this. But if 20 men are pouring lead into him at the same time, even a big old grizz can't stand up to it.
Preacher.
God damn it, go. Do it, Casey. Back away slow.
With a stricken expression on her face, she began to do as Preacher had told her, till she was about 10 feet away.
All right, now turn around, walk back toward the wagons. Don't run, that'll just draw the bear's attention. Now move, Casey.
Again, she followed his orders, but as she walked, she kept glancing back over her shoulder at him. Preacher wanted to look at the bear, but instead he continued to stand rock still. After a moment, with his body concealing the movement, he lowered his rifle to the ground and slid his other pistol from behind his belt. He looped his thumbs over the hammers. Casey was only about 10 yards from the wagon when Preacher eased back both hammers. Preacher twisted around and threw himself to the side as he brought the pistol up. The bear was practically on top of him. All four lead balls from the double-shotted pistol struck the bear, failing to penetrate the thick layers of fat and muscle that coated the animal's enormous body and reach a vital organ. The wounds just stung like hell and irritated the varmint even more. The bear swiped a huge paw studded with razor-sharp claws at the mountain man. The bear was fast, but so was Preacher. The bear missed as Preacher dived, hit the ground on his shoulder, and rolled over. He couldn't reach his rifle. The bear was between him and it. With the pistols empty, that left his knife as his only weapon. When he was younger, he had fought a grizzly with a knife, and he had killed it. That battle had left him severely injured, and he was facing a much bigger bear than that one had been. This one topped 7 feet easily. Preacher scrambled to his feet and darted to the side. The bear lunged after him. There was no way to get away from it, no tree to climb, and on open ground that bear could outrun him. Still, he had to make the thing chase him and lead it away from the wagons.
Come on, you hairy son of a bitch! Come and get me!
Preacher whirled and sprinted away. The bear lumbered after him. Preacher didn't seem to be moving that fast, but it covered the ground and closed the gap in a matter of seconds.
Preacher! Preacher, over here!
Preacher jerked his head in the direction of the shout, and he saw Lorenzo galloping toward him, with a couple other riders following closely behind. Preacher darted toward him. If he could avoid the bear's claws long enough to get on one of those horses, they could race back to the wagons before the massive creature could stop them. The bear was fast, but its great weight gave it so much momentum it couldn't stop or turn quickly. Preacher zigzagged across the prairie, relying on his instinct to tell him when to change direction. The riders closed in on him. Lorenzo slowed his mount and extended an arm. Preacher reached up and grabbed it. Lorenzo might be old, but his wiry body had a lot of strength in it. With the horse still moving, he hauled Preacher up and swung him onto the animal's back behind the saddle. Preacher grabbed hold with his legs and put an arm around Lorenzo's middle.
Get the hell out of here!
Lorenzo sent that horse running toward the wagons, while the two men with him fired their rifles at the bear to distract it. Preacher recognized him as Lehman and Roland Bartlett, but those new wounds didn't slow that bear down any. It swatted at the riders, and one of its paws clipped a horse's rump, the claws ripping gashes in its hide. The horse leaped high in the air, almost unseating its rider, who was Roland Bartlett. He had to hang on for dear life as the horse hit the ground again and dashed toward the wagons. The horse carrying Preacher and Lorenzo reached the circle of wagons and leaped over a wagon tongue. Bartlett and Roland followed closely. The bullwhackers who had crowded up behind the wagons with their rifles now opened fire on the bear. Preacher slid down from the horse and ran back over to one of the gaps between two wagons to watch the assault. He had no way of knowing how many times the bear had been hit. The bear swung around and disappeared into the night like a big, hairy, moving mountain.
Oh.
Casey ran up to Preacher and threw her arms around him.
Are you all right?
Don't worry. He didn't lay a claw on me. I ain't quite sure how I managed to stay out of his reach, but I did.
Oh, thank God.
She hugged him and pressed her face against his chest.
Whew. Whose idea was it to bring the horses out there and fetch me?
That was Roland's idea.
Preacher saw that the young man had dismounted along with his father. Roland held the horses, his expression stony, as his father went over to join Preacher and Casey.
Good Lord, what a narrow escape. Are you injured, Preacher?
No, thanks to you and Roland and Lorenzo,
beast is a behemoth. Surely it must be the largest bear there ever was.
Oh, I reckon there's been bigger, but that one's plenty big enough, that's for damn sure.
Well, at least it shouldn't bother us anymore.
Oh, what makes you say that?
Well, you shot it at close range with those pistols. I'm certain my men hit it numerous times with their rifles. Surely the beast will slink off somewhere and die of its wounds.
I would not be so sure about that. Bears are mighty tough critters, and like I told you before, they are hard to kill. Maybe you're right. I'll do some scouting when it gets light. See if I can find the body.
Preacher went over to Roland Bartlett, who had started unsaddling his horse. He held out his hand.
I'm obliged to you. Casey told me that was your idea to ride out there and get me.
Roland hesitated. He had seen Casey hugging him. Preacher knew that, and he was still jealous. He didn't know that the relationship between the two of them was definitely over, and Casey's hug had been because she was relieved Preacher was still alive. After a moment, Roland did shake hands with him. He didn't appear too friendly about it, but he gripped Preacher's hand firmly enough.
It seemed to be the only way to save your life. I'm glad we were able to get to you in time. My father is counting on you to help us get to Santa Fe safely.
Well, I'll do my best.
I suppose Casey owes her life to you yet again. If you'd panicked when that bear showed up, it probably would have killed both of you.
Yeah, more than likely. But Casey and I are square. She's helped me out plenty of times. I mean, that's what friends do for each other.
Friends, huh?
Yeah. Why don't you ask her yourself?
No offense, but what I ask Casey or don't ask her is none of your business, Preacher.
Oh, well, that's exactly right.
Preacher hoped that Roland would understand what he was getting at. But if he didn't, it was the youngster's own fault for being so damn dense. Preacher saddled horse the next morning after breakfast. Lorenzo came up.
You going looking for that bear?
I thought I would. If it's dead, then these folks can relax. About that, anyway. There's still plenty of other things out here that can kill them.
You want me to come with you?
No. You stay with the wagons. I won't be gone long.
Preacher found Lehman Bartlett and let him know what he was doing.
Mr. Bartlett, you're going to be seeing the Arkansas River off to your left today. Trail's going to run beside it for a ways. Now, I don't reckon you'll get that far before I get back in, but just in case I get held up or something, be on the lookout for a creek that'll run into the river from the north. That'll be Mulberry Creek. Right there's where you want to ford the Arkansas and angle off southwest. You'll be able to see the wagon tracks on the other side of the river.
You mean that's the beginning of the Cimarron Cutoff?
That's it. When you get there, you'll be just past halfway from Independence to Santa Fe.
Oh, halfway. Seems like we've already been traveling forever.
Well, that's because all this country out here looks so much alike. It'll change some once you get on the cutoff. You won't get any better, though. Just flatter and drier and hotter. Oh, and emptier.
That seems hard to believe.
You're going to see for yourself soon enough. Now, when you do ford the Arkansas, whether it's today or tomorrow, you be sure to stop and fill all the water barrels. You need to be careful with the water once you start crossing that desert. It's going to take several days, maybe close to a week, to get to Cimarron Springs. And that's the first dependable water you're going to find.
Why are you telling me all this? You'll be with us, won't you?
Well, that's the plan. But anything can happen out here, like you saw last night with that blasted bear. It came damn close to ripping me open with those claws. Now, if anything happens to me, you need to know where you're going and how you're going to get there. So you listen to the men with you who have made this trip here before. They'll know what they're talking about. You can count on Lorenzo to help out all he can, but he ain't never been this far west until now.
All right, Preacher, I understand, but I hope I won't have to worry about any of this. I'd like for you to be with us every step of the way to Santa Fe.
And that is the plan. But now, I'm going to go see if I can find me a damn bear.